Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th. At 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth,
let's start at the base of a massive waterfall.
Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
During the summer, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends or alone on your couch with the AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, so you can enjoy all the summertime vibes, whether you're sharing pics from a rooftop, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show episode after episode. So stay connected to your favorite people and your favorite things with AT&T 5G and home internet. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now we got some special guests in the buildings.
Yes, indeed.
Some legends, some icons. Of course, we got The Roots, Black Thought, and Questlove. Welcome.
Hey, morning, everybody. It's Black Thought from The Roots.
There you go. They've been up here before, and we got another icon that's never been up here before.
Yes.
What? The legendary icon, LL Cool J. Welcome.
First-timer?
It's first time.
LL stands for Living Legend at this point.
I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Take the love.
Absolutely. So let's first start with, you know, why you guys are here together. Because people are like, well, why is LL and The Roots together? So you guys are going on the road, on the tour.
Yeah.
So how did this tour come about?
Well, whose versions?
Well, I mean, really, in short, you know, the planets and the stars sort of aligned themselves and you made it possible for us to work together on this huge segment that we did for the Grammys this year. And I think, you know, from that, the idea of us always having wanted to, you know, work together in some way, just, you know, it opened the collaborative path. And it was like, yo, why don't we try to take this show on the road? It was huge. What we did just in that one 15-minute segment was so huge for the culture and, you know, this being hip-hop's 50th anniversary and, you know, that whole that whole deal. It made sense to try and, you know, do something celebratory in that way, you know, from region to region, you know.
The great thing about hip-hop 50 is a lot of these stories that we haven't heard or that we've heard whispers are coming to light.
Yeah.
Like, and you're starting to see more and more and more and more videos. I was online yesterday, and it was just random because I DJed for Havoc the other night in Queensbridge, and it was one of the most amazing things for me because it's Queensbridge and it's Havoc, right?
Yeah.
And when he did Shook Ones, I just seen the original, and I'm just Googling, and then I see a video of Questlove looking at Jazzy Jeff play the original Shook
the
Ones and go through the samples. And then I was looking at another video the other day, and it was talking about LL talking about
Biggie, and he was in the studio when he wrote Who Shot You? And then I was talking about another video I seen, and somebody was saying that Biggie had beef with The Roots back then.
Yeah.
Because people can't hear.
These stories are amazing.
Oh, God, can we put that one to rest once and for all?
The Biggie beef.
People don't know. Bully like the Gooch.
The Gooch from different strokes.
Right.
It's just, yeah. You know, you can tell who's like born before 78. And after 78, like, right. It's that generation thing. Anyone after 78 is like, oh, The Roots. No, it was never that.
And even when y'all did the video for What They Do, I think people don't realize all of hip-hop, well, not all of hip-hop, but a large portion of hip-hop was that player lifestyle stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And folks didn't like that at the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it was a choice. You know, some people was into it.
Did y'all ever catch black for that?
He was like,
from Biggie?
He was like, nah, that's not good enough. Because
y'all are big. Y'all are super cool with Jay now.
Did we catch any flack from Biggie?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Big was so chill, man. Here's the thing. Big was a huge Roots fan, and he always made that known. Anybody that I ever met from Junior Mafia, mm-hmm. Lil C's, Lil Kim, anybody remotely related to Big, they would always lead with Big is a huge Roots fan. When mm-hmm. I met Big, he came out and sang Silent Treatment to us. Like, that was his intro to The Roots.
Yeah.
So he definitely, he did feel a way. But, I mean, he wasn't going to be like, yo, like, why'd you play me? Because he didn't feel enough of a way to feel played. But what he did was he did an interview. I can't remember what publication it was. But he did one interview where he made mention of it. And what he said was, he said, look, it's not like I'm going to, you know, go after The Roots. Like, The Roots, he like, I'm a huge Roots fan. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to, you know, do X, Y, and Z. But then he said, but I can't speak for Brooklyn.
There was a disclaimer on it.
You know. But yeah, you know, definitely Big, rest in power, man. And that was definitely resolved. We had a chance to.
Surgeon General might have a different opinion.
Right. We had a chance to, you know, to resolve it, you know, because it was stupid. You know what I mean?
Did y'all ever regret doing that video?
I didn't regret doing the video. I just, you know, I just wish I had been more informed, you know,
aware.
Moving forward. It was definitely a teachable moment. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
At the time, like, I will say, like, I was really neglectful about, like, album artwork or videos or those things. So it was more like, all right, where do we stand? All right, this is what we do. Mm-hmm. And it didn't even really occur to us, like, oh, we might be ruffling feathers or, you know, of that level.
I have to go back and look at the video and I understand why they would be a little upset. You see the final product, and it looks that way.
Say you could say you had to know, but you know, not. Like, we didn't
we
know.
Literally.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I be focused on my own shit. So I'm not always abreast with, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, for you know, just competition's sake and, you know, just to stay up on what's going on. But yeah, I don't know your video set, B. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Right. And respectfully, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't, you know, I was on my own shit. So it was very much, where do I stand? And you know what I mean? It was business, and it was just transactional in that way. And then in that video, everything was non-specific, except for just this one scene. And, you know, I had no idea. I was like, why would I try to single out, you know what I'm saying, like, one of my peers to you know, I mean, knowing me over the past 30, 40 years that we've been doing what we do, That just doesn't speak to my character.
Right. Now, ladies love Cool James.
Yo.
Now, what got you into? We're gonna start you from the beginning because this is your first time here. What got you into hip hop and said, you know what, I want to be MC? Where did the love come from as a kid from Queens and say this is what I want to do?
Well, you know,
into the mic.
Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yep.
So, you know, when those first wave of tapes came around, like, you know, Cold Crush Brothers and Fantastic Romantic Five and Foursome C's, and then, you know, Treacherous Three, you know, Grandmaster Furious Five, and all of those groups when they were just tapes running mm-hmm. around, you know, Harlem World tapes, and then the songs came later. That was the first time that I heard, you know, young black kids sound empowered. Mm-hmm. It was the first time that I heard, you know, or could envision us doing something great, because before that, all the images I had seen were us, like, handcuffed, being put in a police car or some sort of charge, or, you know, so that empowering feeling, you know, the braggadocio thing that, you know, that we really focused on came not from a place of looking down on high on people, mm-hmm. but more about I could be somebody. You know what I'm saying? The world looks at me and, like, I'm invisible. My friends up the block get killed and nobody says anything. Mm-hmm. So when I'm bragging and I'm boasting, what I'm really doing is saying, hey, look at me, I exist. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So for me, that was, you know, a real special thing and a spectacular thing. I mean, I'm 8, I'm 9 years old, I'm 10 years old, and I'm being introduced to this thing, and I just completely fell in love with it. And then, you know, 8, 9, I'm a fan of the rap. My grandfather buys me some equipment at 11. I'm DJing. I'm messing around with that, but I'm still rhyming, and I'm going back and forth. And then, you know, eventually one thing led to another, and, you know, here we are. Def Jam and the whole nine.
Do you consider yourself a founding father of hip-hop? Because, you know, people always will say, you know, right. Kool Herc, or, you know, Grandmaster Flash, people like that. But as far as hip-hop as we know now,
yeah.
I would say you and Run DMC.
Yeah, so I'm you know, I'm definitely Generation 1.5. You know what I'm saying? You got to give Flash and Herc and Force Cass, and all them, yeah. Grand Wizard Theodore, they're due. Mm-hmm. The thing that myself and Run DMC did, what we did is we took it to the world. We took it global. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We took it from the city and took it around the world. You know what I'm saying? And that was the difference. So they brought it. They took it from the Bronx and Harlem, you know, out to the five boroughs and, you know, around the world, mm-hmm. somewhat on a slow, on a you know, not quite as, they didn't penetrate the market quite as deeply. Mm-hmm. Then mm-hmm. we took it and made it global.
I think from a Philadelphia standpoint, too, you know, just from the outside looking in, with that 1.5 generation with you and artists like Run and D, that was our first time sort of seeing our own reflection.
Exactly.
On stage. It was like, yeah. You know, again, I was a huge fan of all the other founding fathers, but they didn't look like people from around my way, you know what I'm saying? And when I saw Run, Jam Master J, L, they looked like the corner boys like that was outside, and mm-hmm. I saw myself in that. So, you know, that's where a lot of the inspiration for me to do what I do came from.
Not to mention, L is very modest, but L literally invented what I call postmodern hip hop, like the 3-minute rap song, 16 bar, like before LL, Run DMC's first album, like it's like that's like 8 minutes, mm-hmm. like 7 verses, you know what I mean? Like LL literally invented the 16. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe the 24th, the chorus. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, oh, the song has choruses on it. So
love rap.
Yeah, like literally emotions on rap. Like he's pioneered for like so many things that he never gets credit for. And I think like he's so good at it. You know, like you roll your eyes when like Steph Curry just like any shot goes in with Steph Curry, and it's sort of like, you're like, okay, you're good.
It's like, Black Thought kill shit again on another joint. Like, we know.
No, but it's...
Well, that's a given.
No, but it's...
I get what you're saying.
It's like that, and oftentimes...
It make amazing shit look effortless.
Right, and oftentimes, I think, especially now that I'm in more of the business of rear view mirrors, like looking at his history. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm also on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame committee, like the people that nominate the people that get in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even in trying to get him nominated, I was like, we're really like penalizing people for being too good, mm-hmm. like too effortless. Like he was like the first teen idol, the first, mm-hmm. like there's so many firsts with him that you just, you take it for granted. So
you think because people are prisoners of the moment, like, cause you know, it seems like that whole era, especially that started in the '80s, don't necessarily get the credit they should.
It's not. And people just don't look at it as art. And that's the thing. Like we have to now, that's the one lesson I learned, especially like when we were organizing the Grammy thing, you know, you're using words like your legacy, your history, whatever. And you know, I understand sometimes with artists, like, there's a bunch of eye rolling and psh, I don't care about this, like that sort of thing. Because for a lot of us, like this is survival, and you know. But what it really is it's art and it's our lives. And so, I think what we need to do, especially as whatever sages, I don't want to say elder statesmen because hip hop is so ageist, but
OGs,
old heads,
I take elder statesmen. Right. I take wise sage.
So that said, it's like we need to collectively like really start looking at this like art, high art, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And especially now where we're all just dying by the thousands, you know, like we can't take it for granted. So like he's in fine form, like in fighting shape and, mm-hmm. you know.
I was going to ask, when you talked about Def Jam, so Let's talk about that when they came to you with a contract to sign. Do you remember what your first contract looked like and how much they gave you?
First of all, you got to remember that. So Def Jam was a production company. There was no label. Okay, It's Yours by Tila Rock was on Party Time Streetwise label. It was Def Jam Productions, which was Rick was the producer, along with Jazzy J, and it was more than a contract. They were actually forming a label. Rick was having a problem, he was having problems getting his money from the other label he was dealing with. So they wanted to start this new thing. So, mm-hmm. That first contract, at the time, we split the publishing. They gave me like $50,000. But before that, actually, my first single I ever made, I didn't have a contract. When I made I Need a Beat, which was the very first song I ever made, I had no contract. Mm-hmm. It was just like, yo, let's just get it and we'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to be willing to crawl over the barbed wire fence with no shirt on. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? To get what you want. So I did that. And then, You know what I'm saying?
By the end of this tour, I'm going to have 100 LLisms. I'm on number 6 already. I'm about to write this one down. So
that was what it was. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, listen, man.
How old were you at this point?
16.
Wow.
I was 16 when I made, when we started Def Jam, I was 16. So my first song, when I made Rock the Bells, all that was 16, 17, wow. 18.
Why did people seem so mature back then? Man. Huh? Why did people seem way more mature back then?
Because I was like, kind of like in that Kobe kind of, straight out of pros, straight out of high school into the pros, mm-hmm. as opposed mm-hmm. to like kid rappers. Mm-hmm. Like you do have kid rappers who are 15, 16 and they're kid rappers. Mm-hmm. I wasn't that. Mm-hmm. I was ready for the big leagues. Mm-hmm.
Is that because you were out in the streets? You were out around the local drug dealers, you seen what was going on.
Queens was. Edit that. No, I'm kidding.
Queens was the hustlers. It was a bunch of hustlers.
Edit that out. I was listening to my heroes. I was listening to the dudes that was really spitting, and they was going hard, and there was no holding back, and you don't get that. You don't get the right. One thing about the inner city that's funny is like, once you walk out on the block, you really don't get an opportunity to be a little kid.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to treat you a certain way. You had that one dude who will treat you like a little kid. Everybody else is like, and what? So when I stepped on the court, when I stepped in the ring of hip hop, it was just, yo, this is what it is. So I just went for it, man. And I love it so much. I signed a 10 album deal.
What?
Yeah. And damn. It was. I remember going home saying to my mother, Ma, guess what? And they're going to let me make 10 albums. And I blew through them 10 albums like nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And see, the thing is, when you do it for love, the rest of everything else happens. Remember, when you see people in the locker room after the NBA championship and they got the cigars and the champagne, that's because they loved the game all their life and they really worked hard and they really had fun. The contracts and the champagne and the cigars come later. Mm. So all of the accolades that people see me with, that's because I love it so much. Mm. I didn't get into this to get paid. I did get paid.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever feel like you should have had like equity in Def Jam?
I did have equity in Def Jam.
Oh, okay.
I did have equity in Def Jam. I just sold it a little early, but I definitely had ownership in Def Jam, ownership in FUBU. Mm-hmm. I have ownership in NCIS Los Angeles, ownership in Lip Sync Battle. Mm-hmm. I have, I own my catalog. Mm-hmm. The things that I do, I did well, but I didn't do it for the money.
And where did you get the business mind from? Was it your mom's? Was it an uncle? Like, where did you get that? Because I don't think a lot of people were thinking ownership back then. They were just thinking, I need to blow up.
You know what I've learned, man? People may have heard me say this before. If a homeless man tell you not to do push-ups in traffic, you should listen because you might get ran over. A lot of times people are like, yo.
That's another one.
Yo, a lot of people are like, yo, you homeless, what do you know? You're like, all right. Today in the news. right? So the business thing I learned from people before me and after me.
Mm-hmm.
I hear, you just stay curious. Mm-hmm. And then you ask questions. And then being blessed by the grace of God to be so successful for so long that I got a lot of bites at the apples. So any mistakes that I may have made got a chance to be corrected because I just, because of the amount of time that I'm able to be successful. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to remember,
I've been professional since 84. Mm-hmm. Professional. Wow. Now in terms of in hip hop, it was, you know, way back before that. Mm-hmm. You know, I was already ready. See, think about it, you know, because you got to get ready. So it's just a matter of just being curious. You know, reading is my hobby. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's always been my favorite thing to do. You know
now,
what
with
saying?
The moniker L, Ladies Love Cool J, right? Did you always feel like these dudes gonna think I'm sweet, so I'm gonna have to have these rhymes in the corner just in case?
The Ladies Love Cool J thing was just wishful thinking, B. I was, you know, I'm 15, I want girls. I'm Ladies Love Cool J. So, right. Like, it wasn't really that deep. It
manifested. You
know, it could have ended up not being true. Right, you know what I mean? It didn't have to be that. Right, right? Right. Like, people took that a little, it just kind of worked out.
Ladies
right?
Go in love.
Yeah. I hope Ladies Love Cool J. I-L-L Cool J. I hope Ladies, you know what I mean? But
you never rebelled against the sex symbol image? I saw Man say he didn't like it.
I mean, look, I made I Need Love because I like girls. I made like Rock the Bells because I like to do the hard shit. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't understand really, you know, like me growing up, I like girls, right? So I don't understand like what we really talking about when you think about it. Like, mm-hmm. what are we talking about? Like, if we're in the car, like, we're not going to talk about no girls?
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing that? Yeah. Y'all not with that? Yeah. Y'all don't want to go do that? Yeah. We should stay, like, what should we do? Like,
right.
Should we play corners in the car? Like, the whole ride? Like, yeah. How we going, yeah. You know, how we moving?
Right.
So that's why I never had a problem with that. And I, you know, and in leading that, it's all love, you know? Like, I don't have no...
I think it's important though, because it's like what those songs really represent is like vulnerability, which you aren't allowed to do that in the hood because right. You'll be seen as weak
or an
easy target.
That's mm-hmm. right.
But I guarantee you anyone
You know what, Quest? Honestly, yeah. Let me tell you something.
What?
The dudes that feel like they'll be perceived as weak or a target with that kind of, when they're dealing in that area, they are weak.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are weak, bro. Like, right. Like, let me tell you something. Putting I Need Love out, me doing love songs is the equivalent of me walking into projects with a neck full of jewelry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing,
right?
Because you open it.
It's a leap of faith.
You know, it's what it is. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So there is no nervous noodle like with that. Like mm-hmm. it ain't even about that. Like, I don't even think that way, because my thing is, here's the strength is in doing what you want to do.
True.
Artistically, that's mm-hmm. where the strength is. Mm-hmm. I do what I want to do artistically. I don't do what they say I should do,
mm-hmm.
because then I'm not being me. I'm fronting. Mm-hmm. I'm being somebody else, right? So. I don't even think like that. That's why I could be in a picture smiling. Don't make me feel weak. I could go do a TV show,
yeah.
Sesame
yeah.
Street.
Yeah.
I've done it too.
Yeah.
Right? We could do all that. Mm. Right? We could do these things.
Right.
Because you don't limit yourself. See, I think that, you know, and I just say just a lot of young men in general, never limit yourself to the perception of what other people think you should be.
Right.
Don't limit yourself to that. Be yourself, right?
Does that ever bother you with both of y'all that, you know, y'all are so legendary in hip-hop, but people might not look at you as a rapper. They might just look at you as an actor. Or people might not look at y'all as the Roots, as in a group, but just the guys that do the band for the night. You
know? People?
The younger generation especially.
No.
I think there's value in that we've been able to reinvent ourselves in a way that, you know, like our brand has had, you know, different iterations, different complete just lives. So the fact that, yeah, we've been on, you know, TV every day for the past 15 years, it's a whole demo. They only know us from that. So that leaves a whole new space for them to explore when they discover our body of work.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's people who've been diehard fans of, you know, LL and the Roots Forever, who, you know, may have lost track of our musical contributions along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I just appreciate the chance to sort of keep reintroducing myself. Me and El were just talking about how, you know, you just pop out every now and then as an artist to shut shit down with those little, you know, not so gentle reminders, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you good. And that's sort of how we navigate the space.
And you know, the way I look at it as, it's just an opportunity.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? It's a beautiful opportunity to put you up on something new.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know, come find out. Come to the show. You know what I'm saying? That's why we on tour. You can come see some music. It's multi-generational. Mm-hmm. You know, just like the festival, multi-generational. So come out to the tour, come to the Force tour, see what we're doing. You know what I'm saying? Get put on to something new. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know, come find out.
And I think, you know, as media personalities, I feel like we got to do a better job of preserving those legacies.
Yeah.
You know, because there's been times I've critiqued LL's, like a freestyle you might have did.
He wanted to box the shit out of you.
He did. But, you know what I'm saying? But what I realized in that is people would hear that and not realize that LL got a whole catalog. Like, there's no way you can ever say LL Cool J is whack. He coined the term GOAT.
Of course.
He's an icon. He's one of the greatest of all time. But sometimes the younger generation don't know that if they hear us critiquing something.
Well,
new.
You know what, Shaw? I'll put it to you like this, and I would say I'm not even tripping off of that, because the reality is, you know, every now and then you're going to miss a dunk. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, if I miss a dunk, it'll be a highlight. But I got some good ones too. So maybe I'm, and if you step into the ring, right? And I'm talking about like in music or art or anything, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're going to win championships, you know, a great boxer, you're going to get punched in the face. So you're going to miss some, is what I'm saying. So, you know, the critique ain't necessarily wrong. It's all right for you to, you know, say what you feel. You know what I'm saying? It's a matter of, you know, my job is just to give people consistent, like this new album I did that Q-Tip executive produced. Mm-hmm. I look forward to introducing that to the world and looking at hearing your critique and your opinions of it. Like, this is the thing we got to do. Like, my goal is this. I just want to show people that you can have a career that lasts decades and decades and decades at the highest level. Mm-hmm. I want to show people what's possible. You know, in hip-hop, we haven't had somebody who started from the beginning and went to another level, you know, at this many years later. So this is a very unique thing that we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. So it's new to all of us. Yep. Mm-hmm. We've never dealt with an LL Cool J. You have the Roots Band and like these sort, like this is a whole nother level now.
Mm-hmm. But so, that's why I actually think you're above critique. I think you're one of those people that you can't critique LL Cool J. LL Cool J's done it. He's home already.
Mm. I think everybody can be critiqued. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think that I'm not immune to critique. I will say this though, you know, I put a lot of work in. Mm-hmm. And I got a lot of hardware. Mm-hmm. And my Wikipedia is pretty long. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So it's
absolutely.
Like, you
he
know,
got rhymes at the hook.
Forget it, I'm constipated. Nah, it's beautiful.
Would this tour be happening without the writer's strike in Hollywood?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, we planned it sort of around like our breaks that would have happened during the Fallon period, but
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because we both was working, and that was why it really made so much sense, you know?
Is it true that Jimmy Fallon is paying the staff out of pocket while y'all on strike?
That's a no.
Question, nah, like, let me check my check. Let me check my bank account right now.
That was a no.
No, I got like 19 other jobs. So it's not like, yo, where my Fallon money at? You know? No one is getting paid after that. That's kind of a myth.
And this may be a stupid question, but what changed y'all life more, Hollywood or hip-hop? We know hip-hop changed y'all life, and there probably would be no Hollywood without it. But what has elevated your lives more?
I will say, for me personally, hip-hop has definitely changed my life. Mm-hmm. Like, I grew up in a house with 3,000 records that I didn't like in the beginning. And then suddenly I'm starting to listen to hip-hop. I'm like, wait, this is what Dad listens to. Like, oh, let me see what my dad got over here. Mm-hmm. And that's what enabled me to sit here today. So it starts with really hip hop and our shared love of it. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, that's hip hop is the answer. I don't know.
For me, it's definitely you know, the same. I would say hip hop. I mean, not only hip hop, but just the arts, right, has been my saving grace. Mm-hmm. You know, I come from, you know, just a place and time where, you know, so much and so many were lost. You know what I'm saying? Both my parents are murder victims. You know what I'm saying? My brother institutionalized, spent over 30 years in prison. So that's where I come from. And that's not, I'm not a, you know, that I'm not unique in that. That's everybody on my block, you know? So, but I also come from a place where it's something in the water. And, you know, people who I've seen invest all their, you know, effort and time and energy, you know, to making it, you know, beyond the block, has done extremely well. I seen, you know,
I've known Wallow, you know what I'm saying, in the Meeks and the Kevin Harts and you know, and you know, people who have gone on to Philadelphia greatness, you know, Eve and Jill Scott and you know, like people when they were still Olympic hopefuls, you know, so it's just dope. I mean, that's I get a different kind of reassurance and inspiration just coming from where I come from, you know what I mean? And yeah, that really just, you know, just lets me know that the sky is the limit.
Did y'all ever get into
it? Hold on, Al, what about you? Hollywood or hip-hop?
Oh, man, hip-hop. Okay. I mean, hip-hop changed my life and made it amazing way before I went to Hollywood. I was many albums in. I was, you know what I mean? I think, like, hip-hop, you know, hip-hop, no question.
Hip-hop is something that has been this important to us since before it reached, since before there was a, you know, an intersection of hip-hop and Hollywood, you know? Hip hop is 50 this year. I'm 50. You know what I'm saying? These brothers are my elders. They're a little older than me. But you know, like me and hip hop were born right at the same time. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely have always felt like, you know, the culture is my contemporary. You know what I mean?
You a founding father in that too, huh? Like as far as like hip hop artists who
movies
transition
out. Yeah, because you know, like even you know, like we did Crush Groove in 85. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, my first appearance, you know, to the world, you know, was on a movie screen through hip hop. So I guess Hollywood has been there all along for me. Did Wildcats in 80. I've done like 30, 40 movies, you know what I'm saying? But it's, you know, listen, man, I love the culture, you know what I'm saying? And I do this because I love it. I could have took my ball and went home a long time ago. You know
I was going to ask, was there any, at any point of any of y'all lives, did y'all lose love for hip hop? Maybe it was the sound change. Maybe it was... wasn't received the right way, or maybe it was I'm getting money over here. Was there any time at that at all?
For me, no, because I'm getting money over here has nothing to do with love and hip hop. You know, it has nothing to do with that. You know, I don't make rap music and do hip hop culture and rock the bells and all this to make money, to survive rather.
Same.
You know, I do it because I love it and I get paid doing it. But I would say, go ahead.
Well, I will say that. You know, there's times if you're creative and your passion turns into your livelihood, that sometimes you might have to leave it for a second. I mean, there have definitely been moments where, like, you know, like he and I have put, since 93, probably somewhere between 150 to 200 shows a year. You know what I mean? From 93 up until, like, when did we start Fallon? 2009?
Yeah.
Like, our lives was on a tour bus. And, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side. And so doing the Tonight Show allowed us especially to see what other magical powers we had. Right. Like, I didn't know, like, oh, I could write books. And both of us are professors at NYU. You know, he wrote a play. I did a movie and all those other things. So
but, a smart team, man.
Well, not more than smart, just curious. Like, we're I think all of us are creatives. And that's the thing, like, we're creatives that are discovering that sometimes our talent is transferable to other mediums and avenues. Like Tariq, you think of that hot 97 freestyle.
Stupid.
He is a better chef. Crazy. He's a better cook than that freestyle. That's, I'll put him against any three Michelin star chef or black grandmother or whatever.
To believe it.
I'm about to have my inbox.
I just don't believe that.
No, for real. Like, he's the like, king.
This is Gordon Ramsay. I heard you wanted the smoke.
No, he's getting up at 4 a.m.
Yeah, I do one thing. I catered for the Rooster the other night.
Yeah.
I brought a bunch of grub to the
chefing
show.
It up.
To rock the bells. Tell you, I mean, you go ahead and tell him what I brought, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, he, everything from crab legs to lobster to collard greens to, like, his cooking, but that's what I'm saying. Like, his creativity.
I'm able to check all the boxes.
You left the chitlins home.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. I definitely left the chitlins home. I love the chitlins on the grill.
There had to be a moment in y'all careers where y'all question things, though.
Well, you know, yeah, definitely. There have been many moments, where I've questioned, you know, myself, and where we've questioned ourselves. You know, what I mean, as a collective. And, you know, in those moments of pause, that's when you're able to answer the call. And I think, you know, you just get those bursts of clarity. And it's been a blessing that we've been able to reinvent ourselves. You know, because, I just like Elle was saying, I would be making music. I would be writing songs and, you know, creating art, whether I was able to, you know, support myself and my family off of it or not. So it's a blessing. Like, you know, I mean, the plus is that
I'm also able to make a career out of it. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, there's been times that I've questioned, you know, like what the next chapter would look like, or what the next, you know, sort of act, like mm-hmm. act three of my career. You know, am I going to be able to swing another, you know, reinvention? And yeah, you know, it's those moments when you sort of listen to the universe and you go with your heart and things become more clear. You know,
I was going to ask you what hip hop is.
What about you, L? Do you have a question? Things.
I mean, yeah. Listen, man, there's always going to be a time in life where you have doubts mm-hmm. and you have concerns and you have insecurities and you feel like uncomfortable or discomfort about certain things. But like Tariq said, you know, answering that call and following your intuition, following that small voice inside of you, and go for it. You know, you can't be fearful in life. You can't be scary. And you have to be able to trust the most is yourself. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to trust yourself in moments when you are susceptible to fear and weakness. Mm-hmm. And you just have to find that strength to keep moving through.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was like, what is an LL Cool J insecurity?
Well, it would be like maybe, okay, it's been 1,000 years. Should I make another album? Do I make another album? Should I go on the road? You haven't done this. You haven't done that. Mm-hmm. You know, the other day, you know, Sway asked me to rhyme. Like, do you say the rhyme? Like, there are little things that
is my hat still like a shark's?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Right. Or is it a dolphin? Right. Right. And so you know, that's but you know, like I said, man, like. When you want to do something, when you want to build something, you're going to deal with that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You're going to deal with them feelings. Like, there's people listening to us right now who, you know, are going through things and they're scared. They're on the edge. You got to be able to push through that fear. Mm-hmm. You dig? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And that's a part of being great. You know, greatness is not about comparing yourself to others' greatness, other people's greatness. Greatness is about maximizing your personal potential. Mm-hmm. That's what makes you great. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you maximize your potential, mm-hmm. you're great.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And he's, as he said earlier, like, you gotta stop. Like, I just started, like, the practice of not people pleasing. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we do things in the eyes of, like, oh man, what's da 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 going to say? Or mm-hmm. I don't know. And the second that, maybe it comes with being 50, like, mm-hmm. you start your I don't give a fuck face. Mm-hmm. Around that time,
well,
and then
you know,
that's
Quest,
when the magic opens.
Quest, so you know, people always ask me about that. Look, I always tell people, I'm not a nice guy, I'm a good guy. Mm-hmm. There's a difference. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like if a little old lady is walking down the street and some guy grabs a pocketbook and you grab the guy and break his nose and break his arm, you're not a nice guy, but you're a good guy. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there's a difference. So in life, it's all right to say no. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm not in this to be nice. Mm-hmm. I'm in it to be good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And when you, so that goes back to your people pleasing. I'm agreeing with you. That people please, like, you don't have to please people. Mm-hmm. What it is you put your oxygen mask on first, then you help the person next to you, yeah. right? So it's the appropriate selfishness. You know what I'm saying?
So when you've beaten people up, you felt bad about it?
Depends on who it would be.
Got you.
You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are y'all having a conversation? I don't know.
You said if you beat up a guy who snatched a purse.
No, I'm saying you don't feel bad at all.
Yeah.
You feel phenomenal.
Got you.
Because you're a good guy. Because you saved the old lady.
Right.
Right? You feel great.
Yeah.
Like you, but that's not nice.
If you'd have beat up,
not nice.
If you'd have beat up Charlamagne, would you have felt good?
At that time?
At that time, yeah, I'm sure.
I would have felt terrible. I would have felt terrible.
Now, I gotta ask. We gotta discuss lyrical sparring, right? So you have times had been challenged, and you threw shots. Whether it was Mo D back in the day, Cannabis, yeah. or people even say Hov. Have you ever ran into the people that you've ever had a lyrical sparring? And is it all jokes and fun now, or is it still like standoffish?
No, I ain't no standoffish, man. That's a sport. I don't have no beef with none of the guys.
Well, of course not beef, but is it?
No, I don't. When I say beef, I'm not talking about like real street beef problems. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just saying, like, I don't have any tension.
Okay.
There's no I mean, some dudes, look, everybody's different, man. Some people, you know, it really bothers them. Like, you know, some people
I gotta ask, like, post Jack the Ripper.
Right.
Or post How You Like Me Now. Like,
right.
Were you and Mo D ever in the room together at any of those periods? Like,
yeah, I walked out on stage at his concert before. Like, I'm crazy.
Wait, see? What?
There was no social media back
then.
That was
all the kind of stuff. Yeah,
Yeah. We see each other, we laugh.
Really? So, when you walked out, what happened?
Nothing. It's ridiculous.
You just walked across the stage?
I'm crazy. L kind of pioneered the rap beat, right?
Yes.
Well, Mo D.
Yeah, you know.
But then with Cannabis, you know what I mean? Yeah. Have y'all spoken?
I brought him out at Barclays when I performed, mm-hmm. remember?
That's right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Ice-T, you and Ice-T, we've seen pictures of y'all.
I mean, yeah, we got we got things we doing now together, you know?
What about you and Hov? What was you and Hov? I never understood that one either. That felt like just ego.
I honestly couldn't tell you, bro. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. All I know is it's all love, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we Gucci. Mm-hmm. Like, for real. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, listen, man.
Does a conversation make things straight, or just over time, you realize it wasn't really about nothing?
They said you at the time you didn't like him as president of Def Jam. That's where they said it came from.
Dude, look.
Next question.
These are the questions.
Y'all good though.
Is it old street stuff? Is it stuff like that before?
No, ain't
rap?
No street stuff. Yo,
Next question.
I tell you like this, man. Listen. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I got love for everybody. You know what I'm saying? I just want to do great things. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, as a matter of fact, I think there's a part in the show where I actually get into this stuff a little bit with a freestyle. So, you know, people should just come to the show and check it out and hear how I address it.
Yeah. Question. You know what did oil up your ankles make your Timbs tap mean?
Huh?
Now, oil up your ankles, make your Timbs tap. What did that mean?
Put her legs in there.
Oh. Got you.
You know what I mean?
Oh, shit. Okay.
You know what I mean? He didn't understand. He didn't understand that on Skeevy. He was like, he's like, we've never heard Skeevy before. I'm like,
yeah,
Skeevy.
That's me and Top Fife running around like Ty's. Yeah, shit. Me and Top Fife. You know what I mean? It's all good. All
right. Okay. Yeah. Are you done with movies? Cause it's been like, this came to my on my radar. It's been 10 years.
It's been a long time since
you did a movie.
10 years since you did
a
movie.
No, I'm actually thinking about. I'm looking at some scripts now, and I got some things that I'm working on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I also, you know, I'm gonna be doing you know, at the time, you know, but right now I can't really talk about that because there's a strike going on, so I can't really get into.
Oh, gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? That I want to be supportive of all my fellow actors and writers out there. All
right.
So I can't really get into it. You know what I'm saying?
Let's talk about music then. How do y'all feel about? Because you know, we are celebrating 15 years of hip hop. How do you feel about icons that haven't gotten paid? Like icons that really paved the way, laid this foundation, but they haven't gotten paid the way they feel like they should.
You know, that's the million-dollar question in music history, because it happens with blues artists. It's happened with my dad's doo-wop generation. Yeah. And
so, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You know, look, I started Rock the Bells as a company, right? So I gave DJ Kool Herc equity. Wow. Run DMC has equity in Rock the Bells ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Roxanne Shanté has ownership. Big Daddy Kane has ownership. Salt and Pepper has ownership.
What?
I gave Eminem actually invested. He wrote a check. He has some. You know, Ernie Panicoli, the photographer, hip hop photographer, has ownership. I gave, you know, quite a few different people. Fat Five Freddy has ownership. And because we've created such a high valuation with Rock the Bells and what that's become, that equity is going to mean something for them in their estates. Mm. So why did I answer like that? Because my thing is this: you don't get bitter, you get better. Mm-hmm. And instead of, like, when I felt like, oh, I don't feel like they play my music enough, I got my own channel, right? But then I decided, you know what? It's not about me though, it's about the culture. So I'm not gonna be a pig, I'm gonna flip it. I'm gonna make sure that I take care of everybody. Mm-hmm. So with Rock the Bells, that question is being answered through action.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's really the what it's about, you know what I'm saying? So. Like, but I'll tell you this, you know, for every sob story that we hear about, there are a lot of great stories too.
Mm-hmm.
Run DMC are doing phenomenally well financially. Mm-hmm. Like, there are a lot of artists that, you know, have come from that era that really did well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I see running the grocery store with the fur on in the summertime.
All the time.
In the summer.
You know what with I mean? That fur on. Absolutely.
In the
summer.
With the roll, with the fan, or whatever that is. Was that a ghost? I don't know.
Ghost. Yeah, yeah. It was, you know, a phantom. Now it's a ghost. Yeah, yeah.
So look, where there's some people out there, look, one thing I can say about Russell and, you know,
even Lior later is that, at least, well, Russell and Rick, especially with that first deal, they didn't bang me out. They didn't screw me over. Mm-hmm. They didn't, you know, like, they started it with a 50-50 publish, and obviously I got it all back now, but mm-hmm. even that started 50-50 could have been zero. Mm-hmm. I would have signed for zero, right? So, like, I think we just got to take out. Grandmaster Caz has equity in Rock the Bells, wow. like real ownership. Wow. So that kind of a thing. So when you see the festival and when you see all the things we're doing and when you see all the stuff in the stores and all the stuff, they're getting paid. They're going to get paid from wow. that. Mm-hmm. So that's how you deal with that. You know what I mean, Charlamagne? Mm-hmm. That's how you deal with it. Mm-hmm. You don't deal with it by complaining and pulling out the world's smallest violin and mm-hmm. just talking about mm-hmm. how sad it is that it happened again. Yeah. You do something about it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
But not only
that, and there
also
are other things that are happening as well that you'll know about later.
Like a union or something? Or?
You'll hear about it later.
But you're also hiring DJs too. Like in hiring people and hiring personalities and hiring people on your show and concerts and festivals. Like I speak to a lot of DJs that are older statesmen and they say that, you know, L is keeping them alive with the mixes and the programming and the shows and the tours. And that's very important because, you know, people have kids. They have families. They have...
We got to take care of each other, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like... Yo, let's take care of each other. That's all. Mm-hmm. Yo, listen, it's kindergarten. It's really just kindergarten stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, share. It's all right. Yeah. You'll be all right.
That's another one.
Share a little bit.
Just, I'm using that one. It's real kindergarten. Just
I wish he was my granddad. Like that's he's the king of every idiom I wish an older male had told me in my life, man.
With that said, is there anybody that hasn't gotten credit or light shined on them that should for what they contributed to hip hop?
I feel like it's a lot of artists.
There's a lot, you know.
Oh, so many. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, hopefully.
Fantastic Romantic.
With what we're doing. Yeah. Hopefully what we're doing, it'll sort of elevate their situations.
I keep seeing.
Fearless Four. Grand Wizard Theodore.
Yeah.
Russell keeps talking about somebody named Hollywood.
DJ Hollywood. Hollywood. Who was on the festival. Yeah, mm-hmm. DJ Hollywood. Mm-hmm. He got a show coming to Rock the Bells. I mean, mm-hmm. so many artists. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Listen, man, all of the Cold Crush. You know, or, you know, so many of them. Mm-hmm. You know, you think about these different guys and people that rock. You know, Disco Dave. Mm-hmm. You know, Easy Mike. You know, different artists, different people. Mm-hmm. Man, this culture is very rich. Mm-hmm. You know, Globe, Pow Wow.
Yeah, these are artists
Mr. Big.
Who you know, largely made their contribution before there was any, you know, anything regulatory set up. Anything, yeah, a model set up. For you to, you know, even be compensated for your art in that way. So, you know, folks who, I mean, they did it from the muscle for the love, you know what I mean? For mm-hmm. the art, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, had it not been for the courage of the Fearless Crew, the Minnow would be lost, as they say, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
you know, when you look at, you know, SpaceX going up in the air, mm-hmm. just, you know, send a little kiss up in the air for the Wright brothers. Mm-hmm. You dig
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's you know, you just got to remember, like, brothers. You know what yeah. I'm saying? Like, they harness, you know, the physics existed, yeah. you know what I'm saying? They figured out how to harness the laws of physics that mm-hmm. already existed. Mm-hmm. Once they harnessed it, then people were able to take that and elevate it, take it to another level. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. that's why the credit for me, I look at a roots band, and I look at how exceptionally talented they are. Thought as a MC, Quest as a drummer and producer, and both of them as artists in general, right? Like the credibility in art and music, you have to look at that. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I would say is what we have to be very, very careful of is measuring artistic greatness by the number of commas in your bank account.
Mm-hmm.
They are not the same thing.
That's right.
And that is we have to be very careful of that. Yeah. The Wright brothers did not have what, you know, Boeing has mm-hmm. financially. Even mm-hmm. if you prorate it, go back then, yeah. they don't have that. Mm-hmm. So we have to be mindful of that. Art is art. And I want hip hop, like Quest said, hip hop needs to be judged artistically. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not about like, look, the ability, and I've been saying this, the ability to be a businessman and an entrepreneur and capture value is very important in society. It's very important for what we do. You know what I'm saying? You got to get to the bag. That being said, that's not the only measurement for art. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Nobody cares about how much Leonardo da Vinci made off the Mona Lisa. We don't even know.
We don't know, yeah, yeah.
We don't have no idea. We just like the painting. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean?
Do you feel like hip-hop has gone there in a nasty place where people are more concerned with the finances and less concerned with the actual art?
I think with anything that was once an underground or, you know, sort of below radar that becomes the mainstream suddenly turns into the thing that it was once against, you know. For hip hop, you know, jazz at one point was like an outlawed music, you know, the FBI shutting everybody down. Like, jazz was the gangster rap of his day back in the 40s, and, you know, hip hop was definitely outlaw music in the 80s and 90s, and now, like, suddenly it's like your grandparents' music. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just the evolution of it all. But, you know, I was just thinking as a people, because we were, you know, it's you're pressed to find any black person that doesn't live in fight or flight, you know, in sort of a panic. Mm-hmm. And hip hop, where it's like hustle, survive, that sort of thing. Like, we really weren't ever given a space to be creative or dream or all those things, which, you know, these brothers over here, like, made exceptions to that because they definitely came from environments in which they could have been statistics, you know. Mm-hmm. But because we allowed ourselves the space to dream in that. So I think at the end of the day, hopefully, especially as a people, I think after the pandemic, more and more black people are getting into, like, mental health space and that sort of thing. Hopefully the art will change, but, you know, hip hop is what it is because, you know, where we are as a people politically, financially, monetarily, artistically in 2023. And you see what's happening in the news right now. Like, it's and, every man for itself.
And that's why we're doing it. Like, that's why the tour is all about, like, just doing it official and doing it, just doing cool shit and doing stuff that's, like, really, you know, official. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not playing. Like, that's why when you come to when you come see us on the road, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really like we're not doing a commercial thing. Yes, we have commercial aspects to the show. I have some commercial songs in it, but I also digging in the crates and doing some things that people aren't even familiar with and doing things that people haven't seen before or seen live. So this is an opportunity really to get reintroduced to, in my opinion, how hip hop originally was supposed to be presented to the world. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm really presenting it that way.
It's a balance though, right? Because you're not LL Cool J without those big commercial smashes, right? Like, you still might be an LL Cool J, but, like, you might not be the guy we know. And Black Thought, you one of the nicest people to ever pick up a microphone, but you necessarily don't have the mainstream hits, so people may not recognize that aspect. Yeah. So it's a balance, right?
It's definitely a balance.
It is, you know, but the thing about what I would add to that is that, you know, for me, you know, I couldn't have made the songs that you're, the songs that you're referring to if I didn't have the fundamentals as an MC. Mm-hmm. See, people don't realize the degree of difficulty of creating those kinds of songs. Mm-hmm. They think the freestyle is harder, but it's not. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The difficulty associated with creating the level of songs that I created, that's, you know, if it was that easy, then everybody would do it, right? Mm-hmm. So, but the difference is, because that's not all I did, because I'm really an MC from the ground all the way up, mm-hmm. from the beginning, I'm able to do those things and still do the other thing. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, because if you think about the different styles of songs that I've made, like, you know, you have a lot of people who, like you're talking about, only familiar with those kinds of records. Mm-hmm. They don't even think about Ill Bomb. They don't think about Nitro. They don't think about It Gets No Rep. They don't think about all these other songs. They know of Roundaway Girl and I Need Love and Mama Said Knock You Out, which doing is harder. You know, doing it. Right. They know those songs. Mm-hmm. Headsprung, you know, which, by the way, it's Big L.A. A bit silly.
They call me
Big Money, Ellie. Big Really. I just want to be clear. They call me Big Ellie.
When did they call you Big Ellie?
You know,
well, you know, when was the Big Ellie?
That was, another. I hope they probably will call you.
When was the Big Ellie?
You know what I mean? For that matter, Charlamagne, when was the Cool J era?
Okay.
I mean, you know, you call yourself what you want to call yourself, right? Yeah. So.
Now, what was your most favorite hip hop moment, all of y'all? What was the most memorable favorite moment?
For me, you know, I mean, there's been very many of them. I can't take anything away from, again, the Grammys earlier this year was phenomenal for me, and not as much. I mean, I feel like the rehearsals, you know, maybe more so than the production. You know what I mean? In that it was just such. It was. You know. It felt like, you know, I was part of a thing. that there were generations of. It was multiple generations of in the room. You know what I'm saying? Me being in a room with DMC and DMC standing in next to the rapper that made him want to do it. And, you know, just so on and so forth. Grandmaster Flash, Jazzy Jeff, you know what I mean? Going all the way down the line. That was huge for me. But, you know, one, you know, a standout moment for me, like when I felt like I had arrived as an MC was many years ago. Was it 96, A Great Day in Hip Hop? 98, when was that?
98.
Source Magazine shoot?
Yeah. Oh, we went to Double XL. Double XL.
It was the day we mastered Things Fall Apart. It was like September 28th, 1998.
Word. Yeah. So, yeah, like in 98, when, you know, everybody, they got all of hip hop essentially together.
Yeah, that was
or at
dope.
Least, you know, people who represented every genre, you know, every region. We all got together in Harlem and took a photo.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I wanted to be there.
Based on the image. That Gordon Parks took, you know, years ago. That was a great day in jazz, where you know, all the jazz musicians took the same photo on these, you know, in front of these brownstones in Harlem. And I had to step out right before this photo was taken. I had to step out to like run, like use the bathroom or some stupid shit. And I left. And when I came back, they was ready to take the picture. So I'm like, you know, excuse me, like ushering my way back through the crowd, because I think where they had the roots was way in the nosebleeds of this. Of this image, and as I'm, you know, making my way back up to the top, I bumped into Rakim. You know, and it was my first time meeting him in person, and when he looked in, he had like a hoodie on. You know, I ain't know who I bumped into when I looked at dude. It was like a druid or somebody. He lift his head up, pulled the hoodie back. He was like, "Oh shit,
yo, thought."
And he was high. He was like more excited to meet me, and I was like, "Yo, like I must be that dude. Like I'm fucking here. Yo, Rakim is hyping me. You know what I'm saying?" And yeah, that was a huge moment for me, man. I went back up there, and you know, I took the pic and. Things have never been the same.
For me, I think the biggest moment in hip hop, for me in my entire career, the moment that like really, it was they call me Big Ellie, Big Silly, Big Money, Big Really. Yo,
good one.
I want to speak.
Yeah, that was a moment,
just,
bro.
About
that Big Ellie moment.
Listen, I want to talk about just how fun it is, you know, for me as an artist, as someone, you know, who came up just quoting all these lyrics to, you know, to have a chance to support my heroes. You know what I mean? It's always a full circle moment for me when I get up there and I get to sort of play the supporting role to a LL or a Kane or Rakim or. You know what I'm saying?
Rap superheroes, man.
It's huge for me. It's nothing.
You know,
what's
impressive is you know everybody's catalog.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have a photographic memory.
Yeah, yeah.
And you sound great, and you know it's like it comes natural. So it's like you're a pro. You know what I mean? So. You know, and you got a wide mic and still can stay out the way. So that's some real shit.
That's huge.
Like you know, everybody don't know how to do that. Yeah. Like I'm used to that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like those kinds of things. Like I mean, look. I love working with them. I love the, you know, what we're doing. You know, I think that when people come and see this tour and see how we're doing it, the guests we bring in and out, you know, from the Rick Rosses to the, to whether, depending on what city we're in, Queen Latifah or Method Man and Red Man or Juvenile or even Ice-T. He got some dates on the tour. He's going to be out there with me on stage.
Wow.
To, I mean, so many different acts that'll be on the stage. I think people are going to be blown away. So you just, this is one of those times when I would just suggest that people come and witness history. You know, you ask questions about hip hop. You have questions about 50th anniversary of hip hop. You have questions about, okay, LL, you were there since the beginning. You've seen it. You've done a lot of things. This is a chance for you to come and witness how it's done.
Yeah.
You know, for real, at a high level.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? On an A-plus stage high level. So, it's good.
How stressful was putting together the 50th anniversary tribute for the Grammys? Because I know you
call me Big Ellie.
Big Silly. Big Money.
Big Questy.
Yo, the Big Ellie.
I'll put it this way.
Big Questy.
I'll put it this way. Two of the artists dropped out an hour before taping. And the thing is that it's so tightly choreographed that you're not just dealing with, like, we make it look easy, like, okay, da-da-da's not here right now, so let's just skip his part. No, because the show is live. So this means that now I personally have to run to the light people to tell them, yo, the 7-minute and 13-second portion till 8:23 is out. And they, while they're doing the show live, during commercial breaks, they have to now edit. Then you have to run to the dancers and tell them, hey, guys, bad news. Blah, 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 blah is not here anymore. So, and they're all like dejected. But then you got to also, you literally have to, like I had an, it was the most MacGyver thing I ever did in my life. Wow. Where, and it still came off. Like I wasn't even aware that Lil Uzi Vert had got my text for him to come on stage to do that. So I'm thinking, like, I don't know if you remember Purple Rain when like Prince stormed off stage after Purple Rain because he thought like he fucked up.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I was about to have a panic attack. Like it's over, it's over, and all the Roots are celebrating. I'm like, wait, what are y'all celebrating for? And they're looking on Twitter like, you see this? And I was like, wait, Uzi was on stage.
Loved it.
Only because loved it. Only because where I was positioned, I couldn't see I like my peripheral.
Mm-hmm. I like him.
Couldn't see if he actually, like, literally.
I will say, yeah, the way the stage at the Grammys this year was set up, it was two complete different stages.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, you know, half crazy. The band was, you know, essentially in a different room.
Mm-hmm. So it came off, but just as the person who was the traffic cop making up for, you know, okay, we got to skip this song, that, or whatever, like.
It was a difficult one for
it you. Was a Hail Mary yeah. throw, and then, you know
you
got caught
it. You got to talk to people, you know what I'm saying? You got to, mm-hmm. you know, everybody has to be, you know, you have to, you know, some people you have to, like, you know, rub lavender scent under their nose. Another dude needs a goddamn, he needs a cup of black coffee. Yeah. This one over here, you got to put your thumb right on his trap, yeah. right as you talk to him. This one, you got to snap your fingers. He's, okay, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, somebody's distracted. You know what I mean?
I feel like that's an impossible show to do, though, because you're going to miss people.
And people are going to get mad.
Well, I don't recommend it. I don't recommend it. I just recommend that you make sure that you know what you're getting into. Because yeah. back in November, I was like, hell yeah, I want to do this. And then by January, I was like, I see what y'all did.
Mm-hmm. Now, good guy, not nice guy, right?
Right.
We knew in advance we couldn't have everybody. Mm-hmm. It'd be 10,000 people. We can't mm-hmm. do 10,000 songs in a row.
Yeah, so, my first draft was like 28 minutes because I included everybody. Right. You know what I mean? So we had to whittle it down to...
Hip hop deserves that though, right?
I think so.
Hip hop deserves the 28 minutes on stage.
We made it live, but you know, Grammy's a 3-hour affair, and mm-hmm. there's other categories and all that stuff. So
yeah,
I heard you doing.
But again, something's going to happen.
That's what I heard. I heard LL's doing. I've been hearing that you doing one on your own.
Well, we're talking about all of us. You know, we're talking about some things, and you know, we got some cool stuff.
And when the LL's involved, like it's extra special. So it's not just like. Something monumental is really going to happen.
I feel like it got to be regional ones. Like, it got to be somebody curating Philly, somebody curating New York, somebody curating L.A., somebody curating Atlanta.
I just think they all need to be represented.
Yeah.
Like me, like, you know, like, I love, like, look, Philly was like, come on, man, between Philly and Baltimore, I mean, Philly going to Lady B after midnight and, you know, doing mm-hmm. all that, you know, for me was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I love Philly. I used to do Philly shows, like, 2-3 times a month.
Oil up your ankles, let your Tim's tap.
You better believe it. You better believe it.
No, we literally fought tooth. We literally
all the way live.
No, we literally fought tooth and nail to make sure that everybody was included. Like, because I know everyone had their criticisms. Like, where was that at? Or da 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 was included. Mm-hmm. It was just like what we were working with was really. You know, it was supposed to be 11 minutes, and we fought hard for those 13 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, we just...
And you got to remember how many millions of dollars those minutes cost, right? You know what I'm saying, Quest? Yeah. Like, it's not, you know, we doing right by our culture. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. Quest, look, did a masterful job curating it, you know, orchestrating it, kind of moving these pieces around. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to have... You know, you do the best you can, mm-hmm. right? We knew we couldn't please everybody. You know, he did everything within his power to make sure that everybody was represented on some level. Everybody from Chuck D to Glorilla and Lil Baby,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you know, and that's it. So now here we are.
I know y'all got to go, but I got a couple more questions. How do y'all feel about lists? Because Billboard had y'all ranked number 10 group of all time.
Really?
Yeah, LL they had you ranked number 14 of the top rappers ever, and you coined. The term GOAT, but for some reason your name doesn't always get put in those GOAT conversations. How did that?
Because he's too good. People can never look that.
Well, you know, I guess I just got to do something about it. You know, I guess that's, you know, that just means I got some work to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I guess that's what it means. I mean, I could sit here and come up with 1,000 different excuses, but at the end of the day, I guess my job is to change that narrative. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, to be continued.
What about y'all thought?
For me, man, like, I'm not, you know, I'm fine. Like, wherever, when I do fall, like, on those lists, it's always, you know, just an honor to be held in the company that I'm held in, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? It's never any other artist on those lists that I don't feel, you know, deserve it. But, you know, where you rank, I think that, you know, is relative. And I think that, you know, it varies from person to person, mm-hmm. different folks' opinions. Yeah, I know I'm a force to be reckoned with. I know everybody know that. Mm-hmm. So I'm fine with it, you know?
Yeah, and the other thing I would add is that, you know, I think this is an overused term, but in my case, I'm different, B.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a fact.
Like, I really am.
That's a fact.
So it's mm-hmm. like, you know, though a lot of times those lists are based on what have you done for me lately. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot mm-hmm. of recency bias mm-hmm. kind of sprinkled in those lists. Mm-hmm.
Recency but bias.
Then, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know? So I understand that mm-hmm. and I get it. It's the equivalent of asking somebody who's a better basketball player. Like, yeah, I don't like the sports analogies because art isn't a sport. Mm-hmm. I can be 70 and do this. But I would say that, like, you know, you have people who have seen, you know, different ball players play in the post-internet era. Right. And then you've had people who didn't play in the internet era. Mm-hmm. And then you're trying to compare them. Mm-hmm. So you compare Jordan to whoever you want to pick in the new era, and people don't get those right. comparisons.
Wilt Chamberlain to Jordan, to LeBron, to Steph.
They don't understand like how much the world changed, how much I changed the world if you wasn't there. You just right. don't understand that. You know what I mean? You don't, like, you have to remember that, okay, just with Def Jam alone, name the artist that was signed to Def Jam. Just
at
name
that time?
Them. No, just over time.
A zillion. From the,
name, a zillion. Name five.
Jay-Z, original concept,
LL Cool J,
Beastie Boys,
Jeezy,
Public Enemy,
The Roots.
Okay. All right, so let's stop right there, right? So I'm the first artist on Def Jam. It was a production company, Tila Rock. I'm the first artist. I put the label on my back, and I got us the distribution deal with my album.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You're welcome.
What are we talking about?
Yeah.
What are we really talking about here? Mm-hmm. Like, so I'm just saying that, like, that's putting the work in to really mm-hmm. be a pillar. Mm-hmm. So now, creatively, with this new album, what I look to do with The Force, because the album is called The Force, Frequencies of Real Creative Energy. And what I'm looking to do with this is to give people, you know, a body of work that really gives them an opportunity to go a little deeper into what I do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And really get into it so that we can have these, maybe those lists. I think the lists will change soon, you know?
I think certain people can't be ranked. I think you're one of those people who can't be ranked.
Mm-hmm. You know what personally. I really think? You know what my honest opinion is, Charlamagne? I think art is about the observer, and music is about mm-hmm. the listener. Mm-hmm. And it is how that art affects the observer or how that music affects the listener mm-hmm. that's the fans, let the fans judge. Like, people always ask me, what do you want your legacy to be? It's like, you're never going to be able to decide that. Mm-hmm. You put all your work in the moment, and then you let the fans decide that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So when it comes to those lists, let the writers decide that. If that's what the people in that room felt, cool. We also know that there's some people running around right now. There's a guy in the barbershop who said he's been loving me, and I saved his life for years, mm-hmm. and he loves everything I do. Mm-hmm. And there's a girl that feels the same way. So it's not really, those judgments are not really what it's about for me.
Right.
Totally. You know what I'm saying? I just want my fans, the ones that love LL Cool J, whether the day ones or the new fans, to hear my music, to come on the road, to enjoy what I do, to love what we're doing together, and that's it. You know what I'm saying?
How do we create those conversations, though? Because you did when you said you're the GOAT, right?
Like, yeah.
That started a whole new conversation. How do you start those conversations? To let people know, like, nah, this is a revered icon.
I mean, Reek and I are in the production business now.
Yeah, it boils down to telling those stories, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? And mm-hmm. in us being able to tell our own stories, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
I might have to do a documentary.
Might.
Yeah. You got, I would hope so.
Yeah, I might have to do a documentary.
Absolutely.
You know, I just never wanted to do a movie or a documentary because I just didn't feel like looking at myself for hours and hours dealing with that bullshit.
Nah, like, it's but like you have to, though, because if you don't
boring.
Tell
the
story,
yeah, we have
to control our own narrative.
Do you need to have a camera running your entire, like, do you have a collection of, like, you know,
we got
to
talk
hey,
about
I'm
it.
Coming
you
know, here Quest, to make Walking with the Panther.
You're probably the perfect person to do that and help me with that.
Well, because, I mean, tell you your own story. Absolutely. I got to ask, I know you got to go, but the Mount Rushmore of hip-hop to y'all, who would be the four faces on it?
Objectively, who goes first? Not even personally. You can't be too personal. If we're telling the
I'm
story.
I'm not those people that put himself on his
no, no,
own
no,
list.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, your personal favorites. Like, in the future, mm-hmm. when we're not here and somebody's looking, like, who are those people?
They call me Big Ellie.
I'm sorry. I had to do it. I'm sorry, B. I'm sorry. All right, so my, as a music lover, DJ, and a producer,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm representing my era, you know. I was 17, 18, and 88. So mm-hmm. for me, my parents' record collection come alive in these records was everything. So I would say that probably my Mount Rushmore of albums would probably be...
You're doing albums, not artists.
Well, yeah.
It's cheating.
No, it's too monolithic. Like, it, okay.
Can you
let
that man answer?
For me, albums-wise, I would say Nation of Millions, 3 Feet High and Rising, End of the 36, and probably lastly, I might say Midnight Marauders. Like, those four records sort of informed me to go deeper into the culture and actually to get my own career. So I wouldn't have face. I mean, they'll have MCs or whatever. I don't know. But okay. For me, those are my.
What's the criteria for the Mount Rushmore? What is the criteria?
I think people, I would look at people that are founding fathers, but also shaped hip hop as we know now in its whole totality. From so music to commerce, everything.
See, that I think when someone you get into commerce, out. When you start talking commerce, it
so no
changes.
No commerce.
Just, but I mean, the commerce, like,
because it's art, because we're talking
but
art.
There, but there are people who transform the game with their art. Mm-hmm. Like Dr. Dre transformed the game. Yeah. He just happened to sell millions of records doing it. You
well,
know?
The commerce on that, same I would say, but you. I would say the beats would be the commerce.
Correct.
Not so the put selling it this way. Of the records, right?
If your entire.
I mean, the selling of records is commerce, but mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, when you say commerce to me, I'm thinking about, like, business outside of music.
Yeah.
That's how I took it.
Well, let me ask.
I'm looking at it like this.
If your entire hip-hop record collection and tape collection were taken away from you,
mm-hmm.
which four would you want to save just for your own listening
pleasure?
I mean, that, you know, for me, it's on an album side?
Yes.
Or you mean just like...
House is burning down. You get
yeah,
to save
I understand.
Four joints.
I need, you know... look, man, I just keep it simple. To me... When you talk about, like, a real Rushmore and you mm-hmm. talk about the shaping of the culture, you have to yep. look at it's first principles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like anything else. You break it down to first principles, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to put DJ Kool Herc.
Mm-hmm.
He started the shit.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't on Rushmore. Mm-hmm. He just started it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Just something I did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And then you have to put Run DMC up there because they kicked down the doors and the walls and... You know, put me on their back to a certain extent as well. And I was the solo guy who went out there, got shot out of that, you know, cannon, yeah. right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to put, you know, Flash and Mel. Because Flash, because, you know, he made us dream of the culture,
mm-hmm.
the DJ, the art of the DJ, mm-hmm. the idea that a DJ could affect culture and move culture. Flash made us do that. And then you got to say Mel because he was the first original prolific writer that wrote songs that were beyond just not just the bragging, because the bragging was very important. Mm-hmm. See, now, you know, we got all sophisticated and we look down on the bragging. But like I said earlier, the bragging was our way to get out of our turmoil and out of that drama that we were in that inner city. That's the core of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are the core. You know what I'm saying? You have a couple of others, but like, that core right there is the real core. Now we can get in anything after that, fan base, this, you know, it's based on, oh, he made money, or, oh, he had a lot of platinum albums, or, oh, he got people to change their shirts. Mm-hmm. Oh, yo, he got, you know, all of that is cool. But DJ Kool Herc, Run DMC, Grandmaster Flash, and Mel, like, bro, like, you remove that and, like, what you got?
Yeah.
For me, I think it boils down to just who had the most impact, mm-hmm. you know, upon my craft. And
right.
I think it's always been just like a balance between, you know, a certain cadence and, you know, something more stylistic. So I give props to, you know, the L's and, you know, the BC Boys and the Chuck D's and even running them, even though they weren't Def Jam artists. But that whole first wave of Def Jam artists were the first people that I heard had
Rush.
You know, that yeah, that Rush roster, they mm-hmm. had that powerful cadence that was just different from what Mel and Curtis Blow and everybody was doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Run DMC, you know what I'm saying? They came out like, war's going on. LL Cool and Chuck D, you know what I mean? Here it is.
Yelling.
There was the yelling. So mm-hmm. it was, you know, that was like, wow. Like they had arrived. They, you know, changed the way I wrote, you know what I'm saying? After I was exposed to that. So that whole wave would be, you know, half of my Mount Rushmore. And then the other half would be once artists, you know, started doing something stylistic that, you know, made the voice more comparable to an instrument, right? So, you know, the Rakims and Canes and G-Raps, you know, people who, you know, that next graduating class or, you know, the, mm-hmm. you know, 1.5 version of what L&M was doing, who came out and said, you know, I'm going to challenge myself to do this and not have to yell. You know what I mean? I want to draw you in a different way. So I think what I've done has always been a balance between the two. So that's sort of my Mount Rushmore. I think, you know, one artist that I think has definitely navigated that well, I mean, definitely earlier on in his career, was Cube. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, when Cube came out, you know, when he broke off from N.W.A. and started doing his solo mm-hmm. shit, it was like that was the space that I wanted to occupy. I felt like mm-hmm. that was, you know, reflective of sort of where I was, you know, in between a Chuck and, you know, like the narrative storytelling of a G-Rap, you know? So
yeah, absolutely.
Did Cube ever write for you? Or collaborate on records?
You can still tap as Joy.
Write for me.
You can still tap as Joy, Al. You can tap as Joy, Al.
No, we never did any music together.
Okay. I saw somebody say that recently.
No, people. People have a fantasy.
Produced on your,
huh?
Didn't DJ Pooh produce on some of your old?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
DJ Pooh, Bobcat. Because remember, my second album was
Pooh was part of that crew.
Yeah. He wasn't in the LA Posse, but he was. But he was definitely part of our crew when we produced Big N Defa and
what?
Yeah, DJ Pooh, Bobcat, you know what I'm saying? LA, Dwayne Simon, Daryl Pierce, they all were, you know, part of that. Yeah, no question.
Yeah, somebody. I saw this on the internet. Somebody said around that time Cube was helping you.
You know what? People have this, you know, yo, people, they got a lot of stories, bro.
Yeah, they come
up with a lot of stories. You know what I mean? Hey, Michael Jordan, did somebody ever bounce the ball for you and shoot your jump shot for you? Like, no, I shot the jump shot.
Yeah. I just always find it interesting.
Who did you write, like, because I just heard the story of you writing for Lights Verse on Self-Destruction. Mm-hmm. Who else have you written?
I've done things for different people. I don't, you know,
Have there been some legendary rhymes from classic stuff that
you wrote?
We will never know about that. You'll take to your grave, like.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it just it was a different time and people just don't talk about it. And mm-hmm. I wrote for people, but at the same time, like, listen, I'm not above collaborating on a chorus or working on something. Like, I'm not picky mm-hmm. like that. If I was writing a rhyme and somebody said, yo, said a word, I'd be like, all right, I like that word. Mm-hmm. I'm cool with that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I write my songs. You know what I'm saying? I have to mm-hmm. because it has to come from me. And if you collaborate too much on, at least from LL Cool J fans, if I collaborated too much with somebody on writing, it would affect what they're listening to. It wouldn't sound like me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because they are very unique things to LL Cool J, to Black Thought, to Questlove. So mm-hmm. you have to be, you know, very specific. Specificity is universal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things that I've encountered, you know, as a writer in my career is I'm a little better at it now since I worked on musical theater. But, you know, people would hire me to write for them and it would be hard for me to write in their voice or to mm-hmm. write in a way that's gonna make them sound like any them. Other than right. you know, yeah. like someone who's doing a Black Thought.
That's hard to
like,
dumb
you know,
down.
Impressive, right? You know,
it's hard to dumb down.
Not even. I wouldn't say it's a dumbing down. It's mm-hmm. just you know, composing and arranging in a different voice other than your own. It's not as easy as one would think it is. You know. So yeah, you know, it's definitely like people who are like ghostwriters who are able to, you know, be like water in that way. And mm-hmm. if I'm writing for you, like it feels like mm-hmm. you, that's something, this is a quiet skill
gift.
That yeah, mm-hmm. people sort of learn over time. Yeah.
So I'll give you an example. So, I tried to do a more collaborative writing album. I did a whole album with 50 Cent.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. 50 Cent.
And we were writing together mm-hmm. on this album. And when it was done, I listened to it. I'm like, it sounds good. I like the music, the rhymes. It sounds cool, but it ain't me. Mm-hmm. So I didn't put it out. It wasn't nothing against 50. I love 50. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to try something different. Maybe we collaborate, write together. Mm-hmm. It didn't work.
I think you said Paradise was the song.
No. Paradise is totally different. Okay. 50 wrote the chorus on Paradise for A. Marie, what
got
she sung.
Got you.
He didn't write my rhymes.
Got you.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like people get that a little, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? That being said, When that happened, I didn't even know 50 was involved. That was the Trackmasters. Mm. They got that done, right? So, and they played with the chorus, I liked it, et cetera. But, you know, we tried to work together, and that's my man, you know what I'm saying? We real cool. But the collaborative thing, when it comes to my verses, that doesn't work for me. And, you know, I'm kind of like, it's funny, when you do this a long time, the longer you do this, the more people... Does he still got it? Can he still do it? Is he going to be able to do it? It kind of reminds me of the Crawford fight the other night. Yeah. There were a lot of people who like were really like nervous for Crawford.
I picked right? Six.
Yeah, it was a lot of people that were nervous for Crawford when he was walking in the ring. Mm-hmm. And he showed what it is. And I think with me, it, for whatever reason, people are never quite sure if how it's going to be. But
do you like being underestimated?
I love it. Mm. I actually love it. I'm good with that. I'm good with that because that, you know, that only makes the jab that much stiffer.
Yes. Is it underestimated or is the fact you've been winning for so long and it just comes to a point where people are just like, God damn, can he lose at something?
Or they
can
forget.
He be bad at something? Can you know what I mean? It's just,
or they forget.
Well, happens to every dynasty.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it all comes with the territory, right? Like I'm a big Denzel Washington fan. I love Denzel. He does great movies. Mm-hmm. You can take him for granted because mm-hmm. he's so nice with his thing. Mm-hmm. Like I don't, you know, I'm going to be real with you, man. I feel very loved. I feel very respected. I feel, you know, like number one. Mm-hmm. I feel like the GOAT. I feel good. I feel recognized. I feel appreciated. I don't have.
You are.
I don't have hang-ups about, mm-hmm. like, how people perceive me. I'm not, like, I'm not pretending to be 14, mm-hmm. and I ain't going to pretend to be 60. Mm-hmm. I'm just who I am. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you guys got to go. I got. One
you know,
question,
you don't right? say that shit like
we
that.
We gonna get you,
you say that. You say that like once every half an hour.
We keep getting texts. Gotta wrap up. They gotta
once every half hour.
But I gotta ask, right? So we all go out to dinner, right?
Right.
LL is paying for dinner because we usually the person with the most money, the richest person pays, right? So LL. Now when you go, when y'all and Magic go out to y'all
big ass
$1 billion boats and y'all travel and y'all go to SpaceX and all that, who pays for that?
Most of the time, Magic.
Most of
the time, Magic pays. Every now and then, I pay.
Yeah.
I do pay. But,
damn.
You know,
like I got
must be nice.
Prove, so.
I was like, yeah, I got nothing to prove.
I'll get the check, pay. But that is,
you know, and how many hats boats? Do you own, LO? They're like, bro, you have a hat closet?
Bro, I probably as many as you got sneakers.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
There you have it.
Was there ever a time you was insecure to take the hat, though?
Of course. Absolutely. Mm. But then, you know, we get over that too, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it's pretty obvious. I mean, it's pretty obvious. Mm-hmm. I did 14 seasons of TV, with a bald head. So, in too deep, bald head. I just didn't like that. I just always felt comfortable
classic
with my
hat. Classic role, very underrated role when you played God in too deep.
Yeah. Actually, Omar, we've been, you know, I talk to Omar every now and then. You know what I'm saying? That's my man. In Too Deep was definitely a fun movie. People should see it if they haven't seen it. It was fun.
Classic film.
Thank you.
We appreciate. Make sure you get tickets for the tour. How can they get tickets if they need to?
Just go to Ticketmaster.com and check it out. The Force Tour, mm-hmm. LL Cool J and the Roots. And one other thing I want to tell you. Mm-hmm. This show is not like the music stops, then another artist comes on, then the music starts, and another artist stops.
Yeah, I'm going to show up an hour or two before LL.
Yeah, don't show up. This is one long, 2-3 hours?
Yes, it's one long mixtape.
It's a mixtape. Wow.
Think of the Grammys, and that's how we're formatted.
One long mixtape.
Another day. Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. So,
get there on time.
You know what I'm saying?
Don't be trying to make a grand entrance and shit, feet hurting and all that. Just get in on time. And let's have some fun.
Is Big Head Sprung the first song that comes
they
out?
They call me Big LA.
LL Cool J, the Love Roots, y'all. Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Peace.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears. Real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted pure entertainment.
The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at highthenumber5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
What are you looking for in a new smart TV? 4K picture quality? High quality and immersive sound? A sleek design? All of those are givens, but only the new Roku Pro Series has all of those and the Roku streaming experience and award-winning OS. Get fast, easy access to all your apps like iHeart, where you can stream all your favorite music, radio, and podcasts all day. And regular all-inclusive trips to Roku City. The new Roku Pro Series. A smart TV built by the streaming pros.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.